But this morning we want to look in the scriptures at a place in Romans chapter 10, there's a number of verses here in Romans chapter 10 that deal with the person's salvation in the age that we live. And we live in a unique time. We live in the church time or the church age, as the book of Ephesians says in a couple places, talking about and uses the word dispensation, the dispensation of grace. So thank God for grace. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's what we're talking about here, salvation or being saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's a pretty good verse of scripture on what a person does or how they get saved. And the scripture, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And it gives an indication that there's a boldness that is given when one believes the word of God. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And that gives the broadness of God's plan of salvation to the Jew or the Greek or anyone on the face of the earth. It is available. That plan of salvation is available. Verse 13 is my verse for the thought of assurance this morning. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Statement. Assurance of salvation is a doctrine for the New Testament church today. There are four unshakable facts from the Bible that one must consider when looking at the doctrine of assurance. The truth is, we can be sure about where we will spend eternity. We can know with certainty that when we die, we will go to heaven. But how can we be sure? That's the question that is asked today, even today. Many people struggle with the certainty of their salvation, especially new believers. Someone just gets saved, and if a child gets saved, probably the last thing on his mind is, am I eternally saved? Is the new life that has been imparted to me, is it eternal? Is it everlasting? And obviously the scripture calls it everlasting life. So this morning I want to give you four facts quickly on that I just put together with a few verses of scripture. Fact number one that I would have anybody consider when looking at the doctrine of assurance. Number one fact: God cannot lie. Now, that's an awesome thought, but if God is God and God is God, then the Bible declares in other places that God cannot lie. So if we have God's word on it, we have a surety and certainty of what he says and that it's the truth. First, assurance is based on the absolute trustworthiness of the scriptures. I just read Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no guessing about that. There's no questioning that. It's an emphatic statement from God's mouth. This is a promise. Confidence of salvation is based upon the infallibility of God's word. So I guess it's going to boil down to, do you believe God or not? Do you believe this Bible or not? Is this God's word? And that's a big debate out in Christendom today. Oh, we can't know if we have the word of God, so on and so forth. But I believe we have the word of God, infallible, inerrant, the King James Bible in its purest form, and it is the words of God preserved for us that we of all people might have hope of our assurance. In John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, if you believe God, there's some assurance for you right there. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. And what God said, he will surely do. You have his word on it. So that may sound like a small point, but actually that fact is very, very powerful. Let me give you another thought. Fact number two. Secondly, Jesus paid it all. And we sing the old song, Jesus paid it all. But the second assurance rests on the finished work of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus paid for our sin debt. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, when believing that these are the words of God and that when God speaks, he does not lie, we're built on this thought a little bit. Jesus paid for your sin debt. So if Jesus bought and paid for it, there's nothing you can do to help him out with that. You just got to trust and believe what he done. By this, he meant that the full atonement for all our sins past, present, and future has been made. A lot of folks, they want to take you to task on, well, how could God die for your future sins? Listen, when he died at Calvary some 2,000 years ago, every sin that we ever thought about, we weren't even born yet, he paid for it. It was a supernatural death. The death was not like any other man. And it was paying for something that no one else could pay for except the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. His work of redemption now completed, our entire sin debt is paid in full. So did the prophet. The prophet had this right in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And it's a prophetical verse of scripture that reaches even to the church age and any ear that would lend themselves to the truth of the word of God. In verse 18 of chapter 1 in the book of Isaiah, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You see, the fact that Jesus paid it all with his precious blood covers the sin debt of the world if you believe it. Let me give you another thought. Fact number three. How about the great convincer? When a person gets saved, something happens. And I just entitled this, it's like a pillar. You could think of these things as pillars. The pillar that God cannot lie, the pillar that Jesus paid it all, and the pillar or the fact of the great convincer. And when I say that, I speak of the assurance that comes through the inward witness of the Holy Spirit, which is imparted to the believer upon salvation. A divinely produced gift. It's not produced by man. It's not produced by education. It's not produced by wisdom or knowledge, but only by the Holy Ghost of God. We're back to point number one, God cannot lie. These things are almost unbelievable, too good to be true to the person out there in the world today. But the great convincer being the Holy Ghost of God, a divinely produced gift, assurance is bestowed by God's Spirit to all true believers. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence. Apostle Paul talks about it in his doctrines and teachings and preachings in the epistles that he wrote, especially to the church. And in 1 John, John writes about it, chapter 3, verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in them, him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Very clear verse of scripture on what happens when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He places you in his body, and you, as you being placed in his body, he places himself inside of you. Say, what is that? That's the Holy Ghost of God, the great convincer. Not only is he a convincer, he's a comforter. Not only is he a comforter, he's an indweller. He takes up residence. He should be in charge. But a lot of times folks don't know exactly what happens when they get saved. And I can tell you this, when you get saved, the Holy Ghost of God moves in according to Scripture. Back to fact number one, God cannot lie. In 1 John 4, the Scripture says this in verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Very clear verse talking about what happens when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You receive the Spirit of God. In Romans 8:16, the Bible says this, Paul addressing this and saying this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now that thing, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you believe God, you can believe that. And these verses I wanted to jot down to give you assurance from the Scriptures of your salvation, trying not to cover some of the same verses that Pastor Jeremiah covered in his devotion Wednesday night. So it's kind of a challenge. So it's necessary. A lot in the Scriptures about the assurance of one's salvation. Fourthly, let me say this, and in this little lesson, this little devotion. Fourthly, the new life in Christ. Now consider that. And I've given you three things prior: the fact that God can't lie, the fact that Jesus paid it all, and the fact that the great convincer or the great comforter is dwelling inside you. And then lastly, fact number four, new life in Christ. Boy, that's a blessing. Assurance comes through the evidence of a changed life. All who are born again will see clear evidence of a new life in Christ. Why, we will never become perfect in this life, we will nevertheless experience a changed life. Now, when a person gets saved a little older in life and they have some mileage on them from the world and the devil and sin, and beyond a shadow of a doubt, they know they have troubles and struggles. When they get saved, they may see the impact quicker, the changed life impact quicker in their life, especially when they get into church, get into the Word of God, begin a spiritual walk with God. They'll see that changed life. But now when you get saved, when you're a child, and you're just 10, 11, 12, 6, however old you were when you came to the knowledge of good and evil, that you were a sinner and needed to be saved, you may not see the change so much as someone that got saved later in life. But the change is there, and the changed life is what makes you different from everybody else. Not better, I said different. Different in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you or share a couple verses as I close with this challenge of a devotion here this morning. In 1 John 2 and 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So the key there is, once a person gets saved, if you want to experience the new life in Christ Jesus, you will have to keep his commandments. And let me show you what the problem is a lot of times and why people struggle with their assurance, especially a new believer, because they feel like they can just go on and live like they always did, go to the places they always went, do the same things, have the same friends, and that's just not the way it works. Not according to the Scriptures. And you'll struggle, and you'll be unsure of yourself. You'll have no certainty. You say, why? Because you're not keeping the commands of Christ, which are simply, follow me. Follow the Lord. So you say, what would you say to the new convert? Get in church, get in the Word of God, and get serious about living for Jesus. That'll make the biggest change that you'll ever see. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. And I'll give you a few verses here out of 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, starting in verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. There's a lot of confusion out there. A lot of folks claim to be Christians, but I'm not sure, according to the Word of God, if they're what the Bible calls a Christian. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So God gives not only an assurance, a newness of life, but he gives no occasion of stumbling in him. You say, well, I just can't live it. With Christ, you can live it, according to Philippians 4, 12 and 13. Verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So there's no room for hate after a person gets saved. You may disagree, you may have an opinion, but out-and-out hate of another brother is definitely a stumbling block in your Christian life. In 1 John 3, and I'll close with this thought, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. That's a promise. Because we keep his commandments. Condition, you keeping his commandments? A lot of folks pray and say, well, my prayers just don't get answered. Are you living for God? And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I believe there's been a lot of folks get saved that struggle with their assurance of salvation because, number one, they're not keeping his commandments. Number two, they're not pleasing in his sight because they've stayed in the world, stayed entangled. They know something changed, and they're struggling with the changed life. They're resisting that thing, and so they struggle with assurance. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. Say, what are you saying? You can live a new life in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost of God that now indwells you. And that should give you some assurance to keep living for God. So this morning, I thank you for listening to this devotion on assurance. And we by no means have exhausted these thoughts from the scriptures. But I trust that something that was said today will encourage you and assure you that what God says is truth. And you can continue to trust him to keep you till that day. Meaning that day you depart or we die or the Lord comes. So God bless you. And this is Brother Phil saying good morning.